Revelation chapter 1. Read a couple of verses. I won't keep you long. Like Elizabeth Taylor said, I won't keep you long. All right. What was that preacher said? Nobody's here that went with me. Mandy, we okay tonight? Are we all right? You're saying, is this really my pastor? What happened to him? Central Florida happened to me. That's what happened. Central Florida. Has anybody been to Central Florida lately? Central Florida happened to me. It's going to take a while to get it out of me, okay? I have a wife beater on underneath this. Look at this. Do you see that? Do you see it? I have a wife beater on underneath this. Central Florida. Got rid of my mullet before I come back. I kid you not. And guess what they're doing down there now? When I was young, I had a 1974 6.6 liter Trans Am Firebird. Big old Firebird on the front of that thing. That's how it sat. It was maroon. It sat like that. Had wheelie bars on the back, big slicks on it. I mean, it had it all. Florida, 4x4 trucks. What happened? I should have followed somebody to the Dollar Tree to see if they got out with stitch pockets. So, Mandy, to your point, just give me grace. All right? Just let me get back and let me get the Ohio back in me, okay? I was born in Florida, but not that part of Florida. Amen. I almost felt embarrassed. You know, when you go south and people say, oh, where are you from? I never say, I just say I'm a missionary to Ohio. I usually say, no, I'm born in Florida. Now when I'm in Florida, I have to designate. No, I was in the panhandle. I was born in the panhandle. I wasn't born down here. Anyways, Revelation. Can we get spiritual? All right. Revelation chapter 1 and verse, we'll pick up where we left off. Verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha. Anybody read Revelation? And Brother Alex, you're kind of out there like I am sometimes. Do you ever read that and try and figure out what it looked like for John? I mean, he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Was this, and God can do anything. And remember this, God is writing scripture at this time. There is, you know, levels to this or whatever I want to say. There's development to this. What did that look like to John? I mean, did he just close his eyes and see these things? Was it a vision? How did this, was it a voice? I mean, he's in the Spirit. How's that taking place? And he begins to see all of this unfold. I often, what did that great voice sound like? He said it sounded like a trumpet. And you can look into those words, what they mean, how they're defined and everything. But I often wonder, when I read scripture, I'm always trying to put myself there. If I'm with the woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, the man born of four, whatever, I am trying to take as much in from the scriptures and visualize the setting of it. I think I referred to it last time when John has the vision of this beast, I think it's called, or something to that effect, that comes out of the ground and it's got, he describes it and all of it. You know, how he doesn't get to see what we see. He's looking into the future. We're reading this from back. I've said before, you see these watching this military series, it was nothing for them to put those jaws on a plane, put the teeth, put the eyes, put all that kind of stuff. Then you see, you know, John's never seen a gun fire. And all of a sudden there's this thing flying. It comes out of the ground. I mean, you've seen how they open those, what are they called for you guys? For you guys that were in the Air Force? What are those things where they open them up and then they come out of the ground? Were you Air Force too? Silos, is that what you call them? Silo where I come from? Well, you put silage in it. Corn silage. Didn't know what they call. They really call those things silos? So, and then all of a sudden John sees that. I don't know how the vision, and he's trying to describe it to us. I know in the last days it's going to be a military battle. I mean, I'm not trying to assume anything. It's going to be a military battle, but he sees these things come out of the ground, and he can only describe them based on what he's already seen. And so I said that to say this. I often sit there and try and put myself in this place, what it looked like. Did John visit all these churches? Or was John just the writer to send this letter to all these churches? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest. He didn't say what thou dreamest. I'm amazed. I'm thankful for John. That's what I'm really trying to say. And I've preached on it before. I'm thankful that he stood where he stood, that he sat where he sat, that he served where he served, that he saw what he saw, and he scribed what he scribed. Because we have that today. Can I say what you see can make all the difference? Joe is making a difference where he's at. You know why? What he's seen. He's seen something here. Mike, what did I used to say? Man, I've been to the promised land. I've seen grapes. This, but can you, when they came back spying out the land, Joshua and Caleb tried to convince the others. 10 were, how's that go, Sunday school teachers? Say it loud. Don't do all the sign language down here. That's how it starts out. You start the song by saying, 10 were bad, 2 were good. You don't remember the song. Nobody remembers the song? Really? What is going on with our Sunday? What has happened to this church since I've been gone? Nobody knows the song? I knew it. Baldwin family showed up. 12 spies went to Canaan land. Okay. All right. I'm going to have a meeting with our Sunday school director this week, so y'all pray with me, okay? This is pivotal doctrinal stuff should be sung in our Sunday school classes. They go out, they spy out the land, and what did they come back and share? What they saw. What they saw. You know what you're going to share with somebody, not just at 10:30 on a Saturday? You're going to share with people during the week what you saw. Man, I went to church this Sunday. This is what I saw. Do you know why the entertainment places are growing? Because they have more excitement in what they saw when they went to church than we have when we go to church. John's excited about what he got to see. Jesus Christ revealed to him future events, present events, past events. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, first and last. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. I think all of us would want to, wouldn't we? And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, now remember this, John necessarily wasn't in the tabernacle. John didn't live during the dispensation of the tabernacle in the wilderness. He lived during the dispensation of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Same but different. Now he begins to describe this candlestick. Watch this now. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's why I'm saying there's not no Old Testament, there's no New Testament, and they totally are separate from one another. It's like the preacher said, they fit like a hand in a glove. One complements the other. There was a candlestick in the Old Testament, wasn't there? Now he's showing them, now watch this, it's not just one, it's 7. And in that candlestick, all those things, and I think we taught on it here, the tabernacle, haven't we? And we've went over every piece of furniture in there. All those pictures or those pieces of furniture typified an aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're fast forwarding into the end times, and all of a sudden John now again begins to highlight and express these things that he sees. He sees 7 golden candlesticks, verse 13. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Really? And I'm not trying to be hilarious when I say this. Is this one of these Beauty and the Beast candlestick things? I mean, how does this look like the Lord Jesus Christ? How is this typify? How do we see the Son of Man in this? The reason why the children of Israel were lost many times, they got too caught up in the furniture and miss the one they were supposed to be seeing. John didn't see the furniture. He saw the one he was supposed to be seeing. And I hope we can touch on that tonight. What was it about the candlestick? Didn't we preach on one time here during the holidays a message in the menorah? I mean, there's Jewish people today that put that menorah, a candlestick. They put it in the window. It means something to them. But what means something to them is the candlestick, not the Son of Man that looked in the center of the candlestick. That's the difference in John's message. In verse 13, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice, remember, you've got to tie in verse 15 with verse 11. Verse 11 said, I am Alpha and the Omega. I've always been, always will be. I'm the beginning and the end. So when he's seeing this person and his feet like undefined brass as if they burned in a furnace, it's the same one that we read of in Daniel chapter 3. He's always been there. If you're looking for him, there's a lot of people that look. There's people that memorize Scripture, don't know nothing about Scripture. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They're knowledgeable in the Word, but they don't know the Word. Ever learning, never able to come to the truth. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And just imagine, I'm not trying to make light of this, just imagine what John's trying to see in this. And I'm thankful. Watch this. There's something that was very important about it. And I think we need to grasp in this. He said, I was in the what? On the. It's not just responsibility of the pastor to come to church and be in the Spirit. It's a responsibility of all of us to be in the Spirit. I said before I left, we had that Sunday morning service, and I just said, man, there is something off today. It was from the moment I stepped into the pulpit, I just said, there's something off. When there's something off, here's what I do. It's a little checklist. It's a PCMS. It's a preventive checks, maintenance, service. Is it me? Is it me? Why is it off today? Have I got a bad spirit? Did I not pray? Am I out with somebody? Am I hindering, quenching? Am I grieving the Spirit of God? What's taking place? Then I start looking around, and I'm saying, is there somebody else? I'm looking at facial features, and then I'm saying, and then I don't want to, you know, charity thinketh no evil. And then I sat there and I said, man, there was just something off. When I cannot pinpoint it down, then here's what I do. It must have been me. It just must have been me until I got there. And then as the time I got there, I didn't go down here. I went down there. And instead of going down here, what was here traveled all the way through the pews to there. And then I figured out what was wrong. They weren't in the Spirit. Come, fold your arms, snub your nose at everything going on just to talk to me after I've spent hours and 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 hours with you, only to tell me I want to move my membership, my name from the membership. You already did that by your inactivity and non-attendance. You don't have to come, snub your nose, stick it up in the air and come talk to somebody and say, I want to remove my membership. There's 24 hours and seven other days of the week. Why would you take that time at church? And then I figured it out. You said all that to say what, preacher? We have to be mindful of our spirit when we come to church. We be brethren. We ought to be with each other, about each other. We ought to be facilitating the success of everybody else. I asked Brother Colossa in the prayer room. I said, is everybody else know? I found out this week, and I called him, and I said, I want to sit down. I told Linda and Jim, I said, I want to be an encouragement to Brother Colossa. He's been an encouragement to everybody else here. I want to be an encouragement to Brother Colossa. I want him to tackle whatever God put on his plate. Didn't take God by surprise. I want him to tackle whatever God put on his plate with grace and dignity to show others behind him that it can be done as well. You know how that's going to be done? It's going to be done in the Spirit. I don't think enough of us prepare Saturday for Sunday. And I think too many of us just pitch up Wednesday not thinking about what can take place. John, this is how important this is. Can you imagine if John just said, why is this having a bad day? No, John, your bad day means we don't get the revelation. your one moment where you just decide not to walk in the Spirit. Paul said this about walking in the Spirit. He said, I die at the first of every year. I make a commitment. I think they've called this, somebody, I heard this while I was gone. The second Friday in January, you know what they've called it? Failure Friday. I heard that. I don't know if it's true. You know why they call it Failure Friday? Because how many people make resolutions and can't get through to the second Friday? We have facilitated our own failure too many times. I said to the men earlier when we were talking to Timothy men, I thank God for my military service. Because where men couldn't tell me how to keep going in adversity, the military did. And it trained me that you can, I can keep going. And then you get saved, and then all of a sudden you read verses like this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know how many times people in church just get to, oh, it's just too hard, I can't do it, I'm a failure. You are, I am, but he ain't. And he encompasses us, he empowers us, he indwells us. And we have to make sure that we fulfill the, not the lust of the flesh, but that we walk towards the fruit of the Spirit. And not enough of us do. And I say this, I said that to say this. Do we sit there and point the finger back at John if he said, I was just having a bad day? I mean, come on. Come on, preacher. I've been exiled. I'm not around my family. They boiled me in oil. What's that look like? I had a great grandfather on my stepfather's side that would tar roofs for a living with no ears. And I'll never forget the first time I visited him. He was born in 1892. And we'd go visit him. My stepfather would take me there to go visit him. He was a good man. He's probably one of the better men that my stepfather ever put me around. And I went home one day. I don't know if he did it to just scare me or what. I got back in the vehicle and I said, Rod, what happened? He didn't have any ears. And then he began to tell me the story. He was going up a ladder one day to tar a roof, hot tar, and hit that bucket on something and poured that tar on himself and melted those ears off. I said all that to say this. John, they tried to what? Boil him in oil. I'm not throwing shade on anybody. It's amazing the things that we can make excuses for not to come to church. He wasn't at church. Oh, I know. But he was where he was supposed to be so he could be in the Spirit. He didn't have a bad attitude. He didn't say, look where God's put me. I'm just so fed up with this stuff. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to be doing, without a full canon of Scripture, and God spoke to him. If he wouldn't have done that, where would we be today? I said all that to say this. Your position and where you are and where you're serving can make all the difference in somebody else's life. Be where you're supposed to be. He laid his right hand. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I almost see him saying to John, that's a big deal right there, having the keys. Hey, John, you see me? You hear me? I just want to show you something. I'm in control of this whole thing. I got the keys. And that's not Calvinistic, who can go and who can't go. He's in control of those two places. He said, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, another trinity, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. He begins to help him. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Thank you for church. Thank you for my home church. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, we'd ask you to touch those physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, family-wise this week, Lord. Help us to be able to all assemble again together. in the days to come. There's so many people sick. There's so many people with situations taking place. So many go through my head. Heal them. Bring them up off of the bed of affliction so we can see your presence in their life and be encouraged in our church. We ask you all these things. In Christ's name we pray. We pick up where we left off. And we left off last time in Revelation, looking at the person of the revelation. I don't want to review all that we've looked at. I hope you have your notes and you keep them. I can't say it enough. The whole Bible is all about him. But even more so in the revelation. Thus far, looking at the next aspect of this study regarding the person of revelation, we looked last time at the strength of his words. Now let me back up and say this about the Bible. It's important for us to read it. I have realized, Libby, I was presented with something this week by Jean. She showed me something. She handed me something. She walked into me. She walked up to me. Words mean something. She walked up to me and handed me something this week and asked me about it. And I began to start looking at it. The more I've been around her, the more I facilitate her success and her finances and her home and all those kind of things, I begin to, the more I'm around her, begin to be acquainted with different stages in her life. I mean, I've looked at every aspect. I've read documents. I've seen things. I've seen pictures. I've seen all those things. What am I trying to say? The more I'm around her, the more I read the things that she has, the documents that she shows me, you know what begins to reveal to me? More about her. Do you know why a lot of people just absolutely do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because they don't read his doc. It's a last will. Can I say this? It's a last will and testament. It's a living will. He's still alive. It's things that he's said to us as the executor of his own estate, what he wants us to do with it. And I'm afraid nowadays that most people, John recognized him right away. John saw him. John began to describe him. You know why? Because now he was just describing what he already knew before. And Jesus was just reiterating to him, like he would any one of us. Any one of us can get to a place in our life we get a little bit weary in the journey. Right? I mean, John the Baptist, no greater man born of a woman. Is that right? We still believe that here? But the Bible said of him, watch this, when he got put in prison, jail, they were asking for his life, he takes his disciples and he said, would you do me a favor? Now watch this, when he sees them on the banks of the River Jordan, he knows who he is. But sometimes in dark moments, and this was a dark moment for John, but the dark moment didn't encompass him. It helped him. And John sees him, John the Baptist, not, I'm messing up John's now. John the Baptist sends disciples and said, are you he? Or should we look for another? John sits here and describes him. The more you get acquainted with somebody, the more, the Bible is God. Is that okay for me to say that? It's another way of saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This isn't a New World Translation church. It's the King James Bible church. The God manifested himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know what God's like? You want to know how he is, what he is, where he is, why he is, how he is, everything, every question answered. The more you get acquainted with it. John recognizes that. And so John begins to describe to us the next aspect of our study, the person of the revelation. We looked at, the last time we looked at the strength of his words, his great voice as of a trumpet. We see in verses 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The last time we were together, we looked at the strength of his words. Then we looked at the span of his work, verse 11a, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. We see not only the strength of his words, but we see the span of his work. I do not care where you look at in Scripture or what time you look at. He has, is, and will be always working. Everywhere in Scripture, you just have to find where you're at. I never forget when I came across John 17. And realized it was a priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. And he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that will follow. You know who he was praying for? Me. I'm going to follow. He knew I was coming. He knew everything. It's still, it's hard for me with 11 grandkids. I struggle to remember all their names. That shows the feebleness and the fickleness in us as people. But in him, his ear is never hardened that it cannot hear, nor his hand shortened that it cannot save. We all at the same time can call out to him and he hears us, understands every situation, understands every need, and will accommodate and send help for those needs in the present time. He's wonderful. It shouldn't take Jacob Cook to get us excited during song service. Some attribute and aspect of Jesus Christ should be revealed to our spirit when we're singing. That's him. And it ought to get us excited. And so we looked at the span of his work. And I said, he has, is, and will always be working on yours and my behalf. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, as a young boy, even told this to his parents. He said, did you not know? I mean, mom and dad are looking for him. Hey, little boy, I don't even know how to parent Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? And here they are parenting him. And then all of a sudden, he's in the temple. They forgot. Talk about a good kid. There's some in here you don't forget. You just know they're there. You just always know they're there. When it gets quiet, then you're trying to figure out where they're at. I'm talking about yours, Brother Baldwin. Quit laughing. And they go back to get him. And he said, did you not know I must be about my father's business? Ryan, that's encouraging. He's not even 12 years old. How old are you? 14. So you got two more years on him. If he was about his father's business at 12, how much more into it should you be? I'm not making fun of you. You don't know what that did for me when I saw it. How many other people could they have picked? You know what you became that day? You became a thermostat, not a thermometer. That we did not read the temperature of that room from you. You were setting the temperature of that room. So we saw the span of his work. Then in verse 11b, John relayed to us the sense of his wants. I think we just touched on these simply last time. John relayed what Jesus wants all throughout Scripture, 11b. He said this, what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches. Can I just say this by way of application? You know what Jesus wants out of you and I this week? He wants you to tell some. He might not want you to write a book. He might want you to write a book. But he wants you to tell somebody else what you saw this week. Did you get help this week? Did you see that he was altogether lovely? Is he Almighty God, wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father? Is he that to you or only on Christmas? And if he was that to you this week in some shape, manner, or form in your life, then guess what the person at work that has no hope needs to hear? I saw him. This is what I saw about him. He's just, and whatever it may be, wherever it, but if you walk out of here and you can't, shame on us that walk out of here and never share nothing with anybody else. We just take mine. Little seagulls and Finding Nemo sitting there and a fish is tossed at. It's mine. We don't ever share it with anybody else. How much are we robbing the rest of the world of seeing Jesus Christ because we won't reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N, in our lives to somebody else? So we saw the span of his work, the sense of his wants, and what thou seest, write in a book. And then I think we touched on, I looked at the videotape, thank goodness for our soundboard, so I know where I left off at. And then we looked at the subjects of his words. He says in verse 11, see unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis. Can I say this? We are the subjects of his words. We sing the song, wonderful words of life, don't we? Are they? Are they wonderful words? Is there something that we sing them over again to me? Wonderful words of life. This is, in my opinion, what has been the demise of the modern church. We do not open his word anymore to find out what he wants and desires. We want what we want and honestly could care less what God wants. And we will find places to tell us what we want. Because if we truly cared, we would seek it and carry it out. Did we come today? I'm saying this to all of us. Did we come today to hear something from the Word of God to impact our hearts so we can share it with somebody else? If not, it was in vain. Why did we come? That is not an indictment on our church, but the church as a whole. And someone may say, how can you draw that conclusion? I did not draw that conclusion. The chapter that follows does. The chapter that follows, if Jesus Christ preached those kind of messages in most churches today, they'd say, I just believe it's God's will for me to leave. Because most churches, are they not going to places make me feel good? If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. I just, when I come to church, I just don't leave there feeling good about myself. My goodness, I stand in front of a mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. And I walk away and say, you're not telling me the truth. He is telling me the truth. Is anybody else in here besides me stood in front of a mirror lately and said, you're not being nice to me? The word of God is a reflection of who we are. We have too highly of an opinion of ourselves. And the comparison is him, and he is the one that's altogether lovely. And so again, it's not an indictment on our church, but the church as a whole. And someone may say, how can you draw that conclusion? I didn't. The chapter that follows does. And every one of those churches is our churches. And thus why I've said from the beginning of this study, the revelation is a present to us. It's a present because God cares so much about us that he would tell us all what we need to know for safety and success in this life. You can't be a student of the Bible and not be safe and successful. You can't. It's an oxymoron. Because he is an ever-present help in a time of need. That's safety. And if you, what was it, Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. How successful are we? Or are we comparing the success of a, you know, it's sad. Can I get this off my chest? I did not know this existed. Maybe I should try this. There is a generation out there that makes money off of views on social media. What's it called? Monetization? There's preachers I know that have changed their profiles on their social media for monetization. And I guess that's the word, isn't it? Some of y'all looking at me cross-eyed. Where depending upon those, and you know what they're doing? They're striving for success where it'll never be found. What I mean by success, the Bible defines words, not Cambridge. The Bible defines words. What's success in the Bible? Meditating on the Word of God. Observing to do all that according to it is written therein. And that's where success is. And God facilitates that in his Word. We are the subjects of his Word, if you will. And therefore, it's present. He named and listed 7 out of all that were in existence. which leads to the last aspect that we looked at last time, the subjects of his words. And he named and listed 7 out of all that were in existence, the 7 churches, that is, because all 7 of those had something that each of us need to look at or look out for or have in our midst. And again, thank God that he cares enough for us that he would do that. We can take those 7 churches that he wrote them to and take an examination of our own self. How many churches have left their first love? I mean, sing them over again to me. When there's salvation preached, when there's certain passages preached, when there's certain songs sung, it should take you back to the time that you know why the church is dying today? Because we've forgotten the relationship that began. And every one of them. And then if you're not careful, it progresses all the way to Laodicea. Cold, blind, naked. I don't need nothing. It's amazing to me the people that can come to church, and it's 7:35, I didn't get to my first point. I don't want to keep y'all. People that come to church and literally believe, won't examine themselves in light of the Word of God. And how many, honestly, without a show of hands, come tonight and said, I really need something. I need the fellowship. I need faith. I need something. I mean, I come. There's something I need. I need things at church. And God understands those things. And we can get to a place where we, and let me just say this, if you don't think, and Just because you're here for Sunday night or Wednesday doesn't mean you figured this thing out. I know a lot of people just sit on the church pew just cold as the day is cold. It's amazing to me how people can come to church in the morning and not come back at night. And just, I'm good. I wish I could survive on 1 week of church. I can't survive on going and visiting other churches. So next, John relays to us what is revealed to him about the person of the revelation. I'll give you this. We'll pick up next week on this. Verses 12 through 16. We've already looked at several. What did I said they were? Well, I just read them. I'm not going to read them again. The strength of his words, the span of his work, the sense of his wants, the subjects of his words. The next one is this, verses 12 through 16. The symbol of his wealth. John begins to give details. Watch this now. I'm not going to read them again. Jesus now reveals to John about himself. That's why I was talking about the person of the revelation. Jesus reveals to John about himself what I termed as symbols, pictures, descriptions. Whatever you may want to call them, I wanted to use an S for illustration what's that word? Alliteration's sake, keeping it simple. I use symbols of his wealth. There's a lot of wealth in these things that he mentions here. Let me give them to you. I'm not going to go into them. I'm just going to touch on them so we can come back to them. They are actual visual things that describe or highlight a characteristic of Christ that John is seeing in him. And he relays to us as symbols. Now, there were symbols in the Old Testament. You know, if you take an aerial, I was watching this show while I was gone. There's people that fish for tuna with spears. And they get in these boats and they got this big giant plank that they step on. I saw this the other day and I started watching this thing. And I'm thinking, man, there ain't no way, man. It's hard enough just putting a line with food on it in the water to catch something. And they get out there and they take these drones and they take these planes and they give an aerial view of this thing. And you see these, and I told Libby, I said, that ain't CGI. I mean, they're 40, 50 yards away and they got this big old harpoon, man, talking about Moby Dick. And they're throwing this thing and they hit that tuna while he's swimming. And then I thought, okay, well, that ain't the end of the story. Then I didn't realize this. They have this electricity line on that. And it, all of a sudden, when they pierce it, he says, yo, they hit a charge on that thing. And all of a sudden, you see that tuna just like this. And I said, man. And those things are $20-some dollars a pound, 6 to 100 to 1,000 pounds. I said all that to say this. I got way off in that illustration. I said all that to say this. If you were to take one of those, what do you call those things? And you were to take a drone over the tabernacle, it's the cross. Everything in there points to Christ. Two rows of six on bread, 66 books. Candlestick over here, altar of incense before you go into the mercy seat, prayer. You see the brazen laver to wash ourselves, word of God. You see the altar of what's the first one? Huh? No, the first one where they kill the lamb. Brazen altar, all of that stuff. You got to get saved. Then you got to get washed. Then you got to enter in and you see candlestick, bread, altar of incense, coals from the salvation put on the altar of incense. Pray before you can get. And there wasn't no time. Anybody ever prayed and you just feel like you're going through the motions? And then all of a sudden you get through? You know, that's why we joke around sometimes. So, Brother Mike, pray if you can get through the ceiling. I mean, we joke like that. We're humorous in that way sometimes. Why? Because we ought to labor in prayer to get there. But the first thing he highlights is the candlestick. It's a symbol of wealth. There's seven of them. I called this, we'll come back to this. We're talking about the symbol of his wealth. And the seven golden candlesticks I called the wealth of his presence. And I'll finish with this for an invitation. If we came to church and just went through the motions and we weren't trying to make sure, you can ask an Israelite, when did the lamp of God go out? Do you remember 1 Samuel 3? The Bible says, ere the lamp of God went out. There was no open vision. And Eli had gotten so backslid. He served for 40 years, but here's the thing that I was talking about this morning. The what? Pattern, fruitful pattern. In their old age, they shall bear fruit. I probably wouldn't even hold a candle to Eli. 40 years. I'm coming up on 37 years of marriage, and I think I'm at 32 of 22, 5, 32 February of being saved. 30 of those in ministry. He served faithfully for 40 years and then just got tired. And next thing you know, when he got tired, watch this. The light went out. And when the light went out, study history, what took place with Israel? They didn't have no light. They didn't have no guidance. Can I tell you how many churches you can go in nowadays and they might as well say, Ichabod, the Lord has departed. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. You know why? Because they let the light go out. We sing the song. I think we, do we still sing that one in Sunday school? We don't sing the other one, but we sing this one. Is it this way or this way? Is it the thumb? Is it this? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You have to oil. That oil reference, five smart virgins, five wise virgins, five unwise virgins, virgins, not virgins. You have to make sure. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Where do you get oil? And what takes place if you don't? Watch this. That's why you need to pray for your pastor. But not only pray for your pastor, pray for yourself. Because you're a part of the candlestick. And if it goes out, do you think the candlestick went out at ABT? You think the candlesticks went out at a lot of churches? And when it goes out, the wealth of his presence. I want to leave church today, and in some aspect, when I'm, as Miss Sam's coming to the piano, at some aspect, I want to look back and say, I saw you today there, Lord. I saw you. If I didn't see you, I heard you. Your voice was clear. It was distinct. It says of the preacher in the Old Testament, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up, here's these two words again that we find in Revelation. Lift up thy voice as a, and show my people their great aspects. No, they're sin. We talked about it in there. We don't like to highlight bad things in our life. We want to highlight the good things. And we ought to be able to see God somewhere. We ought to be able to go home and say, God, you were there. And let me say this, spiritually speaking, for the men. I know I was joking about it, having a healing and deliverance service. But can I tell you how many preachers nowadays are taking churches and they're, what do they call it, Brother Alex? Transitioning their people away from truth. I literally, there's a social Facebook group, what do you call them? Pulpit to Pen, I think it's called. And they are constantly highlighting churches that have departed. I watched a church, Episcopalian, full-blown rainbow flags, full-blown flag, I'll keep the L on that, announcing from the pulpit that we're going to have a special. And a man got up to sing the special that wasn't a special. It might have been special to him. And in the process of singing it, this is what's happening at churches. In the process of singing it, he did one of those things and he rips off his coat. When he rips off his coat, a dress drops down. And he had, you know how the basketball players wear the sleeves? The neoprene sleeves or whatever? Rainbows. And began to just puke out of his mouth some of the most satanic stuff. And people were in that place smiling and laughing and welcoming it. You say, that had never happened here. I'm sure they said a lot of things that would never happen to ABT. It's no longer. And I say that here to this church. Us men. I told Joe, as long as you're a member of this church and you're a missionary of this church, you need to check back on this church to see if we're towing the line still. We ought to keep our finger up in the air and say, no, that's not the way we're going to have it. I know a church is pastoral led, but the pastoral needs to be scripturally led. And the men in the church need to make sure he stays scripturally led. Because they are literally transitioning church after church after church after church after church away from truth. Heaping them to themselves what? Teachers having itching ears. And you see those churches nowadays. This one's named Laodicea. But I wonder how many are named Ichabod. So what's the invitation? I want to see the wealth of his presence. I want to go down in a Sunday school class and see Miss Alicia spirit-filled, teaching to young people, watching a young lady be spirit-filled, teaching young people how to be spiritually filled. And then Sunday school teachers and deacons and everything else. If not, then why are we meeting? That's why Revelation is a present. It's a checkup for us. Are we a church that could God come here and preach? If God were to write a letter to this church, would it be a commendation or would it be a condemnation? Father, we ask you to help us tonight. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church. Lord, I love this church. I'm happy to be a member of it. But Lord, it takes diligence and dedication and determination to die daily and be spirit-filled and fellowship and harmony with each other. Help us to do that. Help this church to be here, Lord, for years down the road if you tarry. Thank you for what we have here. Thank you for these young ladies that sang tonight. Thank you for the young men in our church. Thank you for the people of our church. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to remember our first love. Help us to strengthen the things that remain and make sure it's here for years down the road. Speak to us tonight as only you can, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's